wanted to learn a tosfos, the bottom tosfos. Very important tosfos. If you remember, we learned the story of Reb Yossi, who was told by Eliyahu HaNavi that he should not daven in a churva. Rather, he should daven outside. We saw it, but that means a tefillah katzora havinenu. And then he added that every day there's a baskar that emerges in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now have a look again at the fourth bottom line of the Gemara. Nachum, can you hear us? Before we couldn't see you or anything. We'll hear you.
He just gave the thumbs up.
I'm good. I can
hear you. Are you good? Oh, you can talk. Okay, excellent.
He's verbal.
The baskar emerges and it says, V'oinin yehei shmei hagodol mevoirach. Now, let's have a look at Tosfos. V'oinin yehei shmei hagodol mevoirach. Mikan yesh listor. Listor means literally like the malach of soser, to destruct. We know when you have a contradiction, we call that a stira, because whenever you have a stira, that contradicts and therefore destructs. It's a destruction of whatever you said previously. So mikan yesh listor, from here you can disprove or contradict or destroy ma shepiresh b'machzor vitri. There is a sefer, and it's called the machzor vitri. The machzor vitri is not a machzor for davening on Yom Tov. The machzor vitri is a sefer written by the Talmidim of Rashi. So very often the opinion of Rashi can be found by looking in the machzor vitri, because even though it wasn't written by Rashi himself, but his opinion is recorded there by his Talmidim. So Tosis is going to quote that which it says in the machzor vitri. He's going to disagree with him. So basically we can call this a machloikas Rashi and Tosis. Mikan yesh lister ma shepiresh b'machzor vitri. In the Machzor Vitri, it says, Yehei Shmei Rabo, quote unquote. So the Machzor Vitri explains, what is this concept? And of course, this is so critical because we say these words every day of our lives. Yehei Shmei Rabo. So the Machzor Vitri says what it means is as follows. Shezut filo. This is a prayer she'anu mispalalim, that we are davening for what specifically? Sheyemale shmoi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name shall become full once again. What does that mean? Obviously, these are very, very deep concepts. That the name of Hashem is full or isn't full. So Tosfos, quoting the Machzor Vitri, brings the pasuk kudiksev. This is a pasuk at the end of Parshas Beshalach, and it says, "Ki yod al keis ka." This is referring to just after Amalek. Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael. As we know, Amalek's dispute with Klal Yisrael is not just a physical one, but it's a spiritual machlekas. They disagree with the whole existence of Hashem in the world, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running of the world. And following Amalek's attack on Klal Yisrael, the Torah uses this pasuk, ki yod al keis ka. Now, ka is just yud and then a hey, which is half of the way that you'd normally write Hashem's name, which is, of course, yud ke vav ke. So that's what it means. The name of Hashem is not complete. Not only that, the word case is also a shortened version. It's not the full word. What is the full word? Full word, kisei, the throne of Hashem. When Amalek are around, they ensure that the kisei hakovoid is not complete, which means that the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete, and the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in fact incomplete. So that's why instead of kisei, it's case. Instead of yud kei vav kei, it's just yud kei. That pshat in the pasuk, ki yod al keis ka, says Tosfos, Sheloi Yehei Shemoi Sholem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will not be complete. V'kis oi sholem, neither will his throne be complete. Ad sheyimche zaroi shel Amalek, until finally all descendants of Amalek are wiped out. But as long as Amalek are around, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and the Kis Yaakov are incomplete. When they are wiped out, they will become complete once again. Therefore, when we daven Yehei Shmei Rabo, Yehei is the future tense, Yehei, it shall be. So the Machzer Vitri is explaining, Yehei Shmei Rabo is a plea, it's a tefillah. May the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again be complete. Yehei Shmei Rabo. Rabo means Rav, big. May the name of Hashem once again be enlarged and complete. How so? By bringing about the downfall of Amalek, and he carries on. Upirushoi kach. And the way he explains this is, Yehei Shemei. What does the word Shemei mean? Now, this is very fascinating, because you'll remember that we have said many, many, many times in this shir that if you have an Aramaic word that ends in the letters Yud and He, all you need to do is drop the Yud and the He and put a Vav in its place, and then you'll get the Hebrew version.
That's it.
Right? So therefore, when we have the word Yehei Shemei Rabo, Shin Mem Yud He. So that's an Aramaic word. If we want to now convert it into the Hebrew, L'choira, what would we have done? L'choira, we would drop the Yud He, put a Vav in its place, and instead of writing Shemei, it would be Shemoi, Yehei Shemoi, Rabo, the name, Shemoi, his name, which fits in very well. But says the Machzer Vitri that no, you've got to read this differently. Shemei is an amalgamation of two words, Shem, Yud, He, Yud, K. Upirushoi kach, Yehei, Shemei, Shin, Mem, Yud, He. What does that mean? Shem, Yud, and then He. The name of Yud, K should be Rabbo, should be great. So it shouldn't just be Yud and then a Hey, but in fact it should be Yud K, Vav K. Kloima, what does this mean? She'onu mispalalin, that we are davening. She'yehei Shmoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be Godel, V'sholim. U'mavoyrach le'oilam. Have a tefillah acheres. When we carry on, we say Yehei Shmei Rabo Mavorach Le'olam. That's a different filler. What is that referring to? What does that mean, Le'olam? Le'olam, forever. Kloima, it should be Umavorach Le'olam Habo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be blessed in Olam Habo as well. Whatever that means, I cannot claim that I understand that. That is the end of the opinion of the Machzer Vitri. So again, according to the Machzer Vitri, when we say Yehei Shmei Rabo, Shmei means the shame, Yud and then Hey. The Yud Hey name should once again become Yud K Vav K, because at the moment it's not, because Amalek and their descendants still exist. They should be wiped out. The Kisei are covered, and the name of HaKadosh Baruch will once again complete. Yehei Shmei Rabo, Bavorach Le'olam, it should be blessed forever in Olam Habo as well. All of that was preceded by Tosfos' words that we have a stira to that from our Gemara. That's how Tosfos began. Mikan Yesh Lister. From this Gemara we can contradict, we can disprove the whole Mahalach of the Machzer Vitri. Why? The Tosfos hasn't yet explained what's wrong with the Machzer Vitri's pshat, and where do you see in our Gemara differently? Now he does explain. V'ze loy nireh. This does not appear to me to be correct, says Tosfos. Why not? Midakom arhocham. Because our Gemara says over here, Yehesh me hagodoil mevoirach. Mashma de tfilo achas hi. According to the Machzavitri, how many things are we davening for? Two things. Yehesh me rabba, comma, which means the shame of Hashem should become rabba, it should become great and enlarged. And then there's tefillah number two, mevorach la'olam, that it should become blessed in olam haba. So it's not one lengthy tefillah, it's actually two tefillahs. Says Tosfos, I'm very sorry to tell you, but in this Gemara, when you have a baskel saying, Yehesh me ha-godol mevorach, it's mashma that it's all one tefillah. Why? Because look carefully at the words of the Gemara again on the fourth bottom line. Yehesh me ha-godol, the great name should be mevorach. That does not sound like there's a tefillah that the name shall become great. Otherwise it would have said, Yehesh me godol, the name shall become great. But it doesn't say that. It says, Yehesh me ha-godol, the great name shall become mevorach. So there's no reference or remez whatsoever that there's a tefillah that the name should become great. Says Tosfos, mashma the tefillah achasi ve'enoi roitze loimar. It doesn't mean to say sheyehesh moy godoil v'sholim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should once again become enlarged and complete. Elo yehesh moy ha-godoil, rather, the great name. We're not davening that the name shall become great. Rather, the great name should be mevorach. That's definitely the mashmos of our Gemara. But you understand Tosfos' question? It's a very subtle question. It's all about that letter hey, ha-godoil. If you want to say the name shall become great, you say yehei shmei godoil. The name should be godoil. But if you say yehei shmei ha-godoil, Hagodol is just an adjective. The great name, not it shall become great. The great name shall become a voyroch. Furthermore, says Tosfos, V'gam ma'she ha'oimrim ha'oilom, that which the world say, everybody explains, that lekach oimrim kaddish beloshoin aramis. Why do we say kaddish in Aramaic? All of davening is said in Loshon HaKodesh. Why, when it comes to kaddish, we suddenly say yiskadal v'yiskadash shmei rabo, ba'olmo divro chirusei? All of that is Aramaic. So why are we saying kaddish in Aramaic? So the world say, Lekach, Oimrim Kaddish Beloshon Aramis, Lefi Shetfilo Noe, because it is a beautiful tefillah, Veshevach Godoil, and a very special large praise who, Al Kain Nitkan, therefore it was instituted Beloshon Targum. That's why it was instituted in the Loshon of the Targum, which is Aramaic, Sheloi Yavinu Hamalochim, in order that the Malochim, the angels, should not understand it, because as we know, Malochim do not speak Aramaic, V'yu miskanin bonu, and they will be jealous of us. It's such a beautiful tefillah, this Yehesh Me and Yiskadal, that we don't want the Malochim, who don't say this tefillah, we don't want the Malochim to be jealous, and therefore we say it in a language that they don't understand. They only understand Loshon HaKodesh, so we say Kaddish in Aramaic. That's what the Welt, the world, say in explanation of the fact that we say Kaddish in Aramaic. Says Tosfos, I disagree. V'ze einoy nireh. And this does not appear to be correct. Sheharei kamo tfilois yofois. There are many very, very beautiful tfilois. Sheheim beloshein ivri, question mark, which are indeed in the language of ivri, meaning loshon hakodesh. It's true that yiskadal v'yiskadash is a beautiful tefillah all about kiddush Hashem. But it's not the only beautiful tefillah. We definitely have other examples of beautiful tefillahs, and those are not said in Aramaic. So why, therefore, the question must be asked, is indeed Kaddish said in Aramaic? Elo nira. Says Tosfos, rather the following would appear to me to be correct. Elo nira. Kuda amrinon besoif soito. As is mentioned in the end of Masechta Soito. And it says, Ein ha'olam miskayim. The world has no existence without Elo Asidra de Kedushta Vahei Shemei Rabo de Bosar Agadata. After Agadata, what does it mean after Agadata? Shehoyu Regilim Loimar Kaddish Achahadrosha. After the Rav would get up and say his drasha, they always said Kaddish at the end. Why do they say Kaddish at the end? V'shom hoyu amei ho'arotzis. Who used to come to the drasha? Ignorant people who are unable to learn by themselves. And therefore, they used to come and listen to the Rav give his drasha. And the Amoratzin didn't all know Loshon HaKodesh. Remember, we're talking about Klal Yisrael are in Bovel. Their mother tongue is not Loshon HaKodesh. That's why, by the way, our Gemara is written in Aramaic. Talmud Bavli is written in Bovel. So, the world has no existence without Omenya Hishmi Rabo. Kedusha and Yehesh Mir Rabba. You see the Yehesh Mir Rabba is so important. Which particular Yehesh Mir Rabba after the Agadata? For some reason, I don't know why, there was something very, very special about the Rav giving his drasha, following which they said Kaddish. But that Kaddish was said for who? For Amehoratzim, ignorant people who don't understand Loshon HaKodesh, and that's why it says it in Aramaic. So it's not like the world say that the reason why we say it in Aramaic is because of the Malachim and it's such a beautiful tefillah. That's not the reason. There are plenty of beautiful tefillahs that we do not say in Aramaic. Rather, it is a specific reason that pertains to Kaddish, because the Kaddish was said in front of Amoratzim, they did not know Loshon HaKodesh, it had to be said in Aramaic. Lekach tiknuhu v'loshon targum, that's why they instituted it in Aramaic, shehoyu hakoil mevinim, because then everybody would understand. Why would everybody understand? Shezehoyo l'shoinom, because that was their language. So, we had two parts to this Tosfos. What were the two parts to this Tosfos? Firstly, part one, where he quotes the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri learns that Yehesh Shmei Rabo Mevorach La'olam is in fact two tefillos. Part one is Yehesh Shmei Rabo Mevorach, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehesh Shmei Rabo. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should become completed. And after that, Mevorach La'olam. And that Tosfos disagreed and says, no, that's not pshat. Yeish mei rabba mevorach la'olam is not that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should become great. But rather, what does it mean? It means it's really one long lashon. Yeish mei ha'godol, that's why you have to have kavana when you have in davening. Yeish mei rabba mevorach means the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should become great. Not that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should become great, but rather the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Mevarach. The Machloikas, Rashi, and Tosfos, what in fact do we mean every single day of our lives when we say several times, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam? According to Rashi, as recorded in the Machzor Vitri, it's two separate tefillos. There's the Yehi Shmei Rabba, comma, followed by Mevorach La'olam. And according to Tosis, however, no, it's Yehi Shmei Rabba, the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed. That's point number one. Point number two, a more general point, why do we say Kaddish in Aramaic? So Tosis quoted that the Olam say that the reason why you do this is because it's such a beautiful tefillah, we don't want the Malachim to understand and be jealous, therefore we say it in a language that they don't understand. So Tosis, that can't be. Because there's plenty of tefillahs which are also very beautiful, and the Malachim we don't seem to be concerned with. We say it in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, Tosfos says the reason must be something else, because of the incredible significance of the Kaddish that was said after the Drasha. Who was in attendance? Who attended the Drasha of the Rav? It happened to be the Amoratzim. It happened to be the Amoratzim. The Amoratzim didn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. That was not their mother tongue. It was instituted in Aramaic, and that's the way it is until this very day. And with that, Rabbi Yisai, we move on, and we're going to turn over the Amud now. Second bottom line of the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. There is one piece in this puzzle, in this story, that we have not yet examined. And what's that? Why indeed did Eliyahu HaNavi tell Rabbi Yosi not to daven in a churva? What's wrong with entering a churva? If you remember, look at the second wide line of the Gemara. When Rabbi Yosi says, I learned from Eliyahu HaNavi a number of things. One of them is, she'ein nichnasin l'churva, one doesn't enter a churva. He didn't explain why that should be, but that's what I learned from Eliyahu HaNavi. If Eliyahu HaNavi gave me Musa and says to me, you should not have entered a churva, then apparently that is something that one does not do. Why not? Says the Gemara on the second bottom line, there are a number of reasons. Tanu Rabbanan, mipnei shloisha dvarim ein nichnasin lechurva. It is because of three matters, three different reasons, that one is not supposed to enter a desolate building. Number one, mipnei chashad. What does chashad mean?
Suspicion.
If somebody enters a desolate building, that will immediately arouse suspicion. What is he doing there? There's nothing in there. It's an empty, desolate building. So clearly he's involved in some very suspicious, dubious behavior. Look at Rashi. Mipnei chashad. Shelo yoimru zoyna mukhenes loy shom. That nobody should say that there's a woman, a harlot, a zoyna who's waiting for him there, hiding in a quiet place. It looks extremely suspicious. And therefore, even if that's not the case, but we don't want anybody to say that. So that's the first reason, because of chashad. He will arouse suspicion. Says the Gemara. Second reason, mipnei hamapoiles, because of a collapsing wall. Says Rashi. Umipnei hamapoiles, shechoimas hachurva, the wall of this desolate building, ra'ua. What does ra'ua mean? It's very weak. Umasukanhu, and it's extremely dangerous. Pen, tipoil, perhaps it will fall, the choymer, the wall, olav, on him.
On him.
So this is nothing to do with arousing suspicion. This is just practical reasons. If you enter a desolate building, this building has not been maintained or upkept for a number of years. The walls might be weak and they could collapse at any moment. Therefore, don't go into it because of mapoiles. There could be a falling wall. And finally, umipnei hamazikin. What's mazikin?
Evil spirits.
Literally, mazikin means damages, those who inflict mazik, but quite right, yes. It's referring to evil forces, demons or spirits who apparently lurk around these types of places. So therefore, it's dangerous for that reason. So we have three different reasons why you should not enter a desolate building, a ruin. Number one, it will arouse suspicion. Number two, the wall might collapse. Number three, there are demons or evil spirits that are revolving around there, and therefore they could inflict damage on the person entering the building. For those three reasons, one should not enter a ruin, an old, desolate building. Says the Gemara. Let's examine this now. Mipnei chashad. You told me that one of the reasons you should not enter the building because it will raise eyebrows and suspicion. The tepuklei mishum mapoiles? Question mark. What does that mean? The tepuklei. Says Rashi, the last Rashi. Tepuklei kloima. Klema. Lama lanu gimel taimim. Why do we need three separate reasons, ledovar echod, for one halacha? Hare dai, surely it would be sufficient, but achas mehen, with one of them. Chazal was the one who said, Eliyahu was the one who said, do not enter an old building. So, l'chaira, any one of those three reasons would have been sufficient. Why should I not enter a building? Because of chashad, or because of mapoiles, or because of mazikin. Why do I need three reasons? Imloi, unless, bo l'lamedcho, unless it's coming to teach you, sheyesh shois, because there may be times, she'ein hatam hazeh, where this reason does not apply, but tzorech laniach, but you've still got to leave the building, bishvil zeh, for another reason. In other words, the only way that I can understand the necessity to give me a whole list of reasons is if indeed there's enough gemina between the reasons. And there may well be a different set of circumstances or time where for some reason, reason one will not apply. And that's why I've got to mention reason number two. Of course, the reverse is also true. It must be there are times that reason number two does not exist. And if you've got to say number one, otherwise I would just say number two. So it must be that each one of these three reasons are necessary and are referring to a particular situation where the other reasons don't apply. So with that in mind, let's see the Gemara's kasha again. Why can't you just say the reason of a collapsing wall? That seems a very sensible measure. If you've got an old, desolate building, nobody is concerned about its upkeep. So maybe it'll collapse any minute. Wouldn't that be sufficient? Says the Gemara, one word answer. Bechadati. Bechadati means it's a new building. It may well be a ruin. It may be abandoned and deserted. But if it's a new building, then the reason of mapoiles would not then apply. There's no need to be concerned that the walls are going to collapse. If it was built comparatively recently, it happens to be, it's been deserted, but the building is a fresh, solid building. It says the top Rashi, Bechadati Shenofla Mechadosh. It fell down recently. It's a new development. Shehachoymo Shelo Nofla. Voidenu Bechazkoso. Now, literally translated, it sounds like the wall has fallen and is still strong. Now, those words don't obviously quite make sense. I mean, if it's fallen, then it's already fallen. So many of the Mefarshim are very, very troubled by what exactly does this Rashi mean. And they want to perhaps suggest it needs to be a different text. But either way, the understanding is clear. We're talking about a comparatively new building which has not collapsed. And neither is there any fear it will collapse because it's new. It happens to be desolate. So therefore, it would not suffice just to say the reason of a collapsing wall, because there are some circumstances where there is no collapsing wall. Says the Gemara, v'tepe klei mishum mazikin. So why would it not be sufficient? For example, why don't we just say the reason of mazikin? There are evil spirits in an abandoned building, whether it's new or old, and that will be sufficient, says the Gemara. One word answer, betray. What does that mean, betray? With two people. Apparently, demons will not attack two people together. They'll only attack if you come in by yourself. So therefore, it would not have sufficed to say the reason of mazikin, why? Because that wouldn't apply in all cases. That would not refer to a case, not apply in a case we've got two people coming in. Therefore, I've got to say the other reason. Which other reason, for example, of chashad? Says the Gemara, why? I betray. If there are really two people there entering the building, chashash nami leker. There is no chashash either. What are people going to say? That there's znus going on? No, there's no chashash. It's only when one man enters the building. But if there are two men, they're not. How do I know? Says Rashi. Chashad nami leka. There is no chashad with two men, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah that says, Avol isha misyachedes im shnei anoshim. One woman is allowed to have yichud with two men. Even though there's an issa yichud, one man and one woman. And for that matter, one man and several women. But if it's one woman and several men, even two men, there's no problem. So therefore, I don't understand, why did you not suffice with the reason of mazikin? Because you said sometimes there are two people. But if there are two people, then the reason of chashad also doesn't apply, because if there's two, then there is no suspicion, because your two people are allowed to enter a building. Says the Gemara, no, betray upritzi. Betray means you've got two people, both of them are prutzim. What does it mean, prutzim?
B'nei Toeva.
B'nei Toeva, people who are despicable people, says Rashi. Because the Gemara there says that it's true that one woman is allowed to have yichud with two men, but that's only people of a reputable behavior, but not with prutzim. Therefore, on occasion, one woman and two men will be also. By the way, this is extremely negiah halacha lemaisa. I'm very, very frequently asked about this. I was asked just yesterday about it. In the workplace, you have shailas of yichud. And very often the question has to be asked, one second, what type of men are in the office? So if you have a woman who goes to work and there's three other men in the same office. So technically we would say it's permitted because we have a Mufurisha Mishnah, several men are mutter to misyached with a woman. But if it turns out that these men are not religious at all, they would be defined as prutzim, which is no heter. Yeah. Okay, we have to stop over here, unfortunately. Mitzvah Hashem, try, if you're going to prepare the Gemara, keep on going. And next time, we'll carry on Be'ez Hashem. For those of you who join us, the Parashah Sheh, it will be Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach this evening at 7:15 on Zoom. Mitzvah Hashem.
Okay.
Koach.
Shkai.
Be well. Call to.
Thank you.